Welcome to the Domquartier Salzburg. This audio guide will be with you wherever you go.
And the audio guide is really special because it was made for you by other kids. You can walk around the Domquartier anywhere you want. Wherever you see the yellow Domquartier audio guide symbol for kids with a number on it, then you can listen to some information about what you are looking at. Choose whatever you like.
And this is how it works.
Punch the number you see into the audio guide and then push the play button. If you press pause, then everything stops. If you press play, it will begin again.
You can control the volume with the buttons on the side of the audio guide.
Welcome to the Domquartier Salzburg. The powerful Prince Archbishops of Salzburg have left their marks everywhere, and we want to help you discover all about them.
You can visit their luxurious living areas, offices, picture galleries, their magnificent cathedral, the cathedral treasure, and the Cabinet of Curiosities. You'll learn that the Prince Archbishops of Salzburg not only designed their living areas beautifully, but Salzburg's town squares as well. Now you can pretend to be the Prince Archbishop and have a look at these pictures, the ones in the residence gallery's magnificent art collection.
The monks and abbots of St. Peter's Abbey always played an important role in Salzburg. And you can view the beautiful objects in the Abbey's treasure chamber.
Come on, let's go!
I, the most powerful man in all of Salzburg, am master of the church. I make the laws, I levy the taxes, and I protect the land.
What can I do for you, my lord?
Yes, you, one of my 400 true servants. Bring me a hot chocolate and open the gates for Graf Leopold von Liechtenstein. Let us see if he has completed his task to my satisfaction.
Good day, your highly exalted princely excellence. I've done as ordered and collected information on the residence for our visitors.
Then tell me what you have found out.
The residence was the Prince Archbishop's workplace and living area. And it was gigantic. There were more than 180 rooms and halls. They were used by the Prince Archbishop to receive guests, do government work, and hold celebrations. The lower social classes, however, were not allowed into the magnificent inner rooms. These were reserved for more important persons. Over time, the various Prince Archbishops repeatedly renovated the many rooms.
Servant, where's my hot chocolate? Hurry up, I'm thirsty.
I'm coming, as fast as I can. Take care, it's still hot.
This hot chocolate is always such a pleasure. Simply excellent.
Your highly exalted princely excellence, Franz Anton von Harrach, you will be remembered for all times as the only Prince Archbishop who could drink so much hot chocolate.
Hey, you there with the audio guide. Do you know where you are? Right now, you're in the Carabinieri Hall, the largest room in the residence. Many celebrations and balls were held here. Have a look around. You'll find quite a few interesting things, like a cabinet with old guns. Have you found it?
Have a closer look.
These were the guns that belonged to the soldiers of the Prince Archbishop's personal guard. These beautiful weapons are over 400 years old, and the room was named after them.
Now have a look up. You'll see some pictures showing the four elements. And can you see me? I'm the one holding the trident, like a big fork, and wearing an orange cape. Who do you think I am? My name is Neptune, and I rule over the sea. In case you haven't found me yet, I'm standing in a shell as if it were a surfboard. My picture is about the element water.
Yoo-hoo! Come on over here.
I'm in the picture with the wild pig. Can you see me? I'm the young girl with the spear in her hand. All the men really liked me. Here you can see me during a hunt for a very destructive wild pig. My picture is about the element earth.
Hey, I'm here too. Can you find me? In the third picture of the element fire. I'm sitting there, leaning on a blacksmith's hammer. My name is Vulcan, and I am the god of blacksmiths.
The final element is air, and you will find it in the four circles in the corners of the hall, which represents the four winds and four directions.
The Prince Archbishops of Salzburg were powerful men, and they wanted their visitors to know that. Their palace, the residence, was luxuriously furbished. They had pictures of gods and heroes from antiquity painted on their ceilings as a direct comparison to themselves, as well as to show their wealth and understanding of art.
Hello, all you down there. Do you know where you are? Have a look around. Can you find any knights? Well, you're completely right. There aren't any in this room. But on the walls and ceiling you'll see shields, lenses, coats of armor, and other such things. Even we are armed with weapons.
Oops, you don't even know who we are, do you? We're up above the fireplace with the golden tip.
You guessed right. We are the two little stucco marble figures. Stucco is a really funny material made from sand and gypsum that is good for forming things. Some stucco artists even added beer to the recipe. Isn't that odd?
Actually, the knight's hall was used as waiting room until you were allowed to see the Prince Archbishop.
Then you could request an audience with him.
What on earth do you mean by an audience thingamajig?
An audience isn't a thing. It's when the Prince Archbishop agrees to receive you and listen to what you have to say. You often had to wait a really long time for an audience. Ugh, how boring. And you didn't always get what you wanted.
If you visit the staterooms today, you follow in the footsteps of messengers of foreign princes, statesmen and diplomats when they wanted an audience with the Prince Archbishop. You begin in the Carabinieri Hall, then go through a number of rooms which are more and more luxurious. The Knight's Hall, Council Hall, and Anticamera, before finally reaching the most magnificent room of all, the Official Audience Hall. Connected to it are the private chambers of the Prince Archbishop.
Hey you, down there, with the audio guide. Stop and look up. Listen. My friends have a riddle for you.
I'm sure you're wondering who I am. Well, that's the riddle. I'll tell you my story, and when I'm finished, you can try to guess who I am. In my time, I was the most famous of my kind. When I was young, I was brought to a palace, which then became my home. But scary black things, the people called shadows, always followed me. I tried to run away, but it simply was impossible. That went on for a while until the lord of the house came along. The boy's name was Alexander, and he managed to chase the monster away.
Well, actually, I only turned my friend towards a son.
He was my hero, and we became friends forever. He's the only one I ever let ride on me, and it will always stay that way.
And have you guessed who it is? Exactly, it's that true friend Bucephalus, who was afraid of his own shadow. He was with me in many a battle. Look closely above you. On the ceiling you can see Alexander the Great and Bucephalus.
Oh, it's really cold in here. Someone turned the heat on.
You're right. It's really cold in here. How come? The lord of the house, his exalted Prince Archbishop Guildcraftoon, will answer the question for us in an interview.
We are in the passageway connecting the residence to the cathedral. I'll give you an important piece of information. It's 1660 and there's no heat. We are in the passageway connecting the residence to the cathedral. I'll give you an important piece of information. It's 1660 and there's no heat.
I already know there's no heat. Aurelia, put on your thick socks or you'll catch a cold.
Okay.
Yes, I had it built, but it's not finished yet. Outside, the townspeople can walk right onto this walkway we are standing in now, because this room forms one of the cathedral arcades. There's another one just like it on the other side. Can you see it?
Hey guys, I need something warm to drink.
Right.
Goodbye, Mr. Prince Archbishop.
You're now in the council hall, known in German as the Ratsherrenzimmer. This is where politics took place. It was used by the Prince Archbishop. One of them was Sigismund Graf Schrattenbach. He loved children and had his own musicians come in all the time. One of those children was very special. He was a wonder child and was allowed to play for the Prince Archbishop when he was just 6 years old. He later became a very famous musician.
Who was the child?
Look out the window. You'll see the cathedral, the residence square, the tower with the bell chimes, and away in the back, the adult statue of the child whose name you're trying to guess.
I'll give you a little hint. He's Salzburg's most famous son. You can even buy ball-shaped chocolate named after him.
In case you didn't guess it, the child's name was Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart.
I'm in this anti-camera hall for the third day in a row now. All because of the soul contract, and the Prince Archbishop hasn't even received me yet. I know a few faces from the past days. staying overnight in Salzburg has almost cost me more than the soul contract will ever earn. Endless waiting and no chairs to sit on are really tiring me out. Besides, I haven't eaten anything for hours and I'm so hungry I could eat a horse.
But what did I want to tell you? Oh yes, my workers have been rebelling for weeks. And I hope the Prince Archbishop can help. At least I can look at this wall tapestry while I wait. I'm sure it's very valuable.
I really like that white stove with the golden decorations. Isn't it beautiful?
Yes, I've seen that many times and it has kept me warm every time I was here.
Look up. Can you see the ceiling painting of Alexander the Great? It was painted by Martino Altemonte. It shows Alexander the Great cutting the Gordian knot with his sword. After that, he became the ruler in Asia. Ah, the door! A servant is coming out of the audience hall to get me. I hope the Prince Archbishop signs my contract so I don't have to come again.
Here, on the table between the windows, is the only night clock in the whole building.
A night clock?
Look in the mirror behind the clock. You'll see the clock doesn't have a back wall. The clock face is made of fine French silk. When you put a candle behind the clock face shines in the dark. The black numbers and clock hands make dark shadows so you can read the clock at night.
Who owned the clock?
The former owner was the Prince Archbishop, Count Leopold Anton von Firmian, who was a fanatical clock collector.
In earlier times, clocks were works of wonder and very valuable. Only the very rich, such as the Prince Archbishop, could afford clocks.
Have a good look around. You'll find many more valuable clocks in this room.
Mrs. Brunhilde von Muggelsburg.
I thank you for this audience, your highly exalted princely excellence.
I am more than pleased to receive such a lovely young lady. Just admire my beautifully patterned floor of nut, oak and maple wood.
It's simply amazing, but what really impresses me is the ceiling painting.
It shows Alexander the Great being honoured in the city of Byblos. The common folk are kneeling down before him and placing a crown on his head. In the same manner, I deserve to be honoured. But now tell me, what is your request?
Before I begin, I would just like to mention how wonderful that wall hanging is behind you.
Yes, indeed. It shows Rome under siege and is woven from gold and silver thread, silk and wool. It's the most valuable piece here in my residence. But please, Frau von Muggelsburg, what exactly may I do for you?
Oh yes, I'll get right to that. But first I must tell you how beautiful your furniture is. But yes, I kindly ask you to lower my taxes, as I'm very short of money at the moment.
I'll think about it. Now please go.
Thank you.
My dear lady, never turn your back to me as you leave the room.
Oh, I am so sorry, your highly exalted princely excellence.
For that offence, your taxes will certainly be raised.
And now for an exciting interview with the Salzburg Prince Archbishop and a reporter from the Salta River Chronicle.
Hello, Mr. Prince Archbishop. Now right to my first question. Is the rumor true that on special days, you and your guests throw coins out of the window?
There is indeed truth to this rumor. It is sometimes necessary to show my people how generous I am.
What is this box for?
That is the safe box that I store my huge amount of money in. It has secret locks and only I have the key.
It looks quite outdated. When was it made?
You obviously know nothing about art. This box was made in 1785 and is extremely valuable. And the purpose of the box is the same as the purpose of this room, to store money.
It's probably valuable because of its content. But let's move on to the next question, Mr. Prince Archbishop. How was the stove heated?
It was heated by wood.
Well, where's the opening?
A part of the stove is built into the wall and leads into a small heating room. You'll find it on the way to my bedroom, where a little stairway leads to a little room. Have a look in there. It's not quite as pretty here as elsewhere. It's one of the wood storage areas for the stoves.
The Salzach Messenger would like to thank you for this interview.
Everywhere in the residence were passageways, stairs, and rooms to be used only by the servants. In this way, they could do their daily work, such as carrying wood, heating the stove, cleaning, cooking, etc., without being seen. And they would not disturb our highly exalted Prince Archbishop.
Here, my lord, is the water you order for washing.
Put it near the wash basin.
Odd that I'm the only person who puts importance on dental hygiene. I even use tooth powder, while others wouldn't even dream of cleaning their teeth.
But now, it's time for my evening prayers. It's very practical that I have this little prayer alcove in my bedroom. Our Father, who art in heaven.
Oh, I'm too tired. I'm going straight to bed. Amen.
Maybe to fall asleep.
Servant, bring me my glass of wine.
Certainly, my lord. Not again. I'm forever stumbling over the Prince Archbishop's shoes.
Be quiet. Give me my wine and leave my bedchamber immediately.
How can someone snore like that?
Hey, you down there. Have a look up at the ceiling picture. I'm the one lying in bed with a ball in his hand. My name is Alexander the Great. You might wonder why I'm holding a ball in my hand. Well, I don't want to fall asleep, and the ball helps keep me awake. You are probably wondering, how does that help? If I fall asleep, the ball falls out of my hand into the metal basin below and makes such a terrible noise that I immediately wake up again. The guy at my feet is my teacher, Aristotle, and the figures above me are the goddess Juno and the Hypos, the god of sleep.
Shh, now I'll be quiet, so the Prince Archbishop can sleep.
Hey, you! Look up! The ceiling painting you see here shows just about every type of art. Architecture, astronomy, painting, and so on. That's very fitting because you're now in the beautiful gallery where the Prince Archbishop displayed many of his pictures.
Have a look at the walls. You'll see some framed pictures. Can you count them? In earlier days, there were 70 pictures hanging here, so it looked a lot different than it does now.
If you look out of the window, you'll be looking at the Alter Markt, which was the square in Salzburg meant for the common folk. It's not as magnificent as the Prince Archbishop's squares, but the townspeople also had the beautiful St. Florian fountain built here. Of course, it was a bit smaller because the townspeople were not as powerful as the Prince Archbishop.
Hello. Yes, you over there. Our names are Nina, Kiona, and Aurelia.
As you might have noticed, this room is not as magnificent as the others. This was the audience hall for the townspeople. The Prince Archbishop used this room to hear the townspeople's requests. That simply meant that the people could come to him with their problems.
The stairs. In earlier days, these stairs led the townspeople straight to this room. But now, they are simply a shortcut to the next story.
But that's enough for now. It's time to say goodbye. Have fun in the next rooms.
See you later.
You are now standing in the entrance area of the residence gallery. Called the Bishop's Hall, because portraits of bishops used to hang here. The Prince Archbishops used this room either as a living area or as a picture gallery. There was also a theater hall.
Prince Archbishops always loved art, so they always collected paintings. Over time, they collected over 1,000 paintings. To display them, they of course needed rooms, and so they had all these galleries.
Today, anyone can visit these galleries, but back then, that was not the case. Only selected guests were allowed to come. Most of the pictures of the archbishops were lost, however. Either stolen during wars or they were brought to the emperor's court in Vienna.
The residence gallery was founded here in Salzburg in 1923. At first, it did not have its own collection, but displayed only pictures on loan. Nowadays, you can see paintings by French, Italian, Dutch and Austrian artists. Have fun looking around.
Right here beside me is the Prince Archbishop Franz Anton von Harrach and his personal servant. They've agreed to answer a few questions, so let's get started. Mr. Archbishop, what do you think of the changes to the Hall of Bishops? It almost looks like a coffee shop now.
I like it.
Why?
I love chocolate bars. They didn't have them back in my time. I do find it sad, though, that there's nothing here anymore to remind you of the former Prince Archbishops.
And as the Prince Archbishop's servant, how do you feel about it?
At first I was against it, especially the middle part of the room, but all those chocolate Mozart Kugel treats that I got for free have more than made up for it.
Whose coat of arms is that behind the big glass wall?
That is Wolf Dietrich von Reitenau's coat of arms, the Prince Archbishop before me.
Thank you for your patience and have a nice day. over there? I'm the young guy in the picture carrying the Emperor's globe.
Greetings, I am Emperor Charles V, ruler of the Habsburg Empire. It was one of the greatest empires ever. In fact, they say it was so great that the sun never set.
Can you tell us where you were born?
Of course, I was born in Ghent on the 24th of February 1500, and I died on September the 21st, 1558, at the age of 58.
I've heard that you gave up the throne to let your son rule. Do you look so sad because of that?
Yes, indeed.
Can you find symbols of the emperor's rule in the picture? Yes, they are the crown, the scepter, the gilded coat with the sword, and the globe.
And to finish up, I'd like to tell you a bit about the artist Peter Paul Rubens. He painted the picture without actually seeing the emperor, because the emperor has already been dead for a long time.
Then how did he know how he looked?
He studied other paintings of Charles V and copied the facial features. Peter Paul Rubens was one of the most famous painters of his time.
The Ceiling Stucco Pictures tell stories from the life of Julius Caesar. I'm sure you know him from the Asterix and Obelix comics.
And why Julius Caesar?
Caesar was a military commander, author, statesman, and also held the highest office in the Roman Empire. It was not unusual for princes of the church, including the prince archbishops, to identify themselves with Julius Caesar.
In the middle of the stucco picture, you can see five women. One of them is Roma, the goddess of the city of Rome. You can recognize her by her mural crown. The other women symbolize prosperity, victory, happiness, and piety.
The ceiling pictures depict these things because they all played an important role in the life of Julius Caesar.
And that's also what the prince archbishops, as rulers of church and land, wanted to do for their people. Bring them prosperity, development, peace and happiness.
The picture by Jean David Steheim is a still life. That comes from the Dutch word still leven and means that the artist arranged lifeless objects and then painted them. The Dutch painters were true masters of this genre. The paintings were not only decorations but also dealt with political, moral and religious topics. Listen to our rap about the breakfast picture and all its symbols.
Lemon is a symbol of moderation, and this is just a notion. Pomegranate, a symbol of a land. Here there's really nothing planned, and it's surrounded by a shell safe and sound to take care of you all around.
The oyster, a sign for desire and marry. Some new info for you to carry. Bread and wine, both refined. Tough decisions they must make in the last supper they all partake. A pipe is a treat, but when the smoke stops, it's over with the feet.
Dear God, protect me along my path through life.
Greetings, my dear woman. My name is Rembrandt Hermans van Rijn. I painted this picture showing a woman as she prays in about the year 1630. I'm a Dutchman. I'm known all over Europe for my style of painting, which is sometimes referred to as coarse. That's because I sometimes use the handle of my paintbrush to scratch into the paint. You can see that really well. In the fur on the collar, this painting is very special because I painted it onto gold-plated copper so that the colours would appear brighter. On the screen on the other side of the room, you can magnify the picture and really see how the gold shimmers near the edge on the left-hand side. But let's leave the woman to pray in peace and not disturb her anymore. Goodbye.
When you look at the picture, you can think of lots of things. Listen to what we were thinking as we looked at this picture by Ferdinand Waldmüller.
A picture poem. Happy children in a window.
A farm, sunshine, waving, loud laughter.
Waiting expectantly, Sunday clothes.
Happy children in a window.
A little rose.
The painter, Waldmüller, looked really closely.
Happy children in a window.
A farm, sunshine, waving loud laughter.
Can you see the squares? In front of the cathedral is a Domplatz square. On the other side is a Residenzplatz square with its big fountain, and way in the back is the Mozartplatz square. They weren't always there. There used to be a lot of houses here. And down there, near the fountain, was a cemetery. They were all torn down.
And I can tell you why. Prince Archbishop Wolf Dietrich von Reitenau wanted to make the city more beautiful by building big squares around the cathedral.
He lived in Rome for a long time and wanted to make Salzburg like Rome, with big squares, fountains, and beautiful palaces. During a fire, the old cathedral was badly damaged and the Prince Archbishop did not repair it. Instead, he had it torn down.
Wolf Dietrich had designs made for a new cathedral, but it was never built. The new cathedral, as you see it today, was built by the next prince archbishops.
Artists make a draft of their first ideas for a piece of artwork. That could be a drawing, an oil sketch, or a model made of wood, clay, or plaster. You'll find such drafts here in the Northern Oratory of the Salzburg Cathedral in the Rosacher Collection. For many years, Mr. and Mrs. Rosacher have been collecting many drafts done by artists in the Baroque period. Part of their collection is on display here. A bozzetto is a type of sketch, a first draft for a picture, fresco, or figure. Bozzettos were always created by the master artists themselves, and the person commissioning them could have a say in how the piece of artwork was designed. The work itself was often carried out by other artists and not the master artist himself. Probably the prince archbishops used these bozzettos to help them decide if they should commission a piece of artwork or not.
The bozzetto you see here was done by Gian Lorenzo Bernini, a very famous Italian Baroque sculptor. It was made of clay and depicts Constantine the Great on his horse looking towards the heavens. He just had a vision of God telling him to paint a cross of Christ on his soldiers' shields in order to win the war. The horse is on a pedestal, and you can see that a relief was meant to go here, but the plan was never actually carried out. Instead, doors were put there, which gives you an idea how big the statue really is.
At the top right, you can see a few letters.
numbers, and scribbling, which shows that Bernini often used the Bozzetto to make notes. All his ideas, flashes of genius, and anything else were written down here for all time.
If you want to see the finished statue, you'll have to talk your parents into taking you to Rome. All you have to do is take the night train from Salzburg, and you will be there in time for breakfast.
We are now entering St. Rupert's Oratory. It's a chapel for St. Rupert. The pictures on the ceiling and altar show scenes from St. Rupert's life. Rupert was a bishop in Worms on the Rhine River. The story begins in the vault. The first picture shows how Rupert was chased out of Worms with sticks. The second picture shows Duke Theodore's friendly greeting. The third one shows Rupert baptizing Duke Theodore. Back then, adults were baptized more often. Today, it's usually children. The fourth picture shows Rupert knocking a pagan statue from its pedestal. The picture behind the altar shows the founding of St. Peter's Abbey as the key is handed over. In the picture on the altar, you can see St. Rupert as he died during Mass. Over the door, you can see St. Rupert's dead body. Can you see the two angels? And in the middle of the room, you can see St. Rupert ascending into heaven.
From this gallery, you have a fantastic view of the entire cathedral. If you look straight ahead, you see the high altar. The altarpiece shows the resurrection of Jesus. Have a look at the marble patterns on the floor. The cathedral was built so that everyone in the city could fit inside. How many angels, flowers, and leaves do you think decorate the walls? And how high do you think the dome is? It's as high as a 20-story house. The cathedral is Salzburg's most magnificent sight. It didn't always look as it does now. The first cathedral was built in 774 and consecrated by St. Virgil and then changed many times. In the 12th century, the cathedral was 100 meters long, almost 50 meters wide, and had 5 towers and 25 altars. 400 years ago, it was completely torn down to make room for the new cathedral as it still stands today. A lot of the original things from the old cathedral were lost, but the baptism basin with its lion feet is still here.
Hello, we'd like to tell you a bit about ourselves. We are the two stone angels you see ahead on the banister.
We're up here all the time, but today we can finally have a say.
We have the very best view of the entire cathedral and want to show you something really special.
Do you see those fantastic huge decorations on the walls? The flowers, leaves, garlands, heads of angels, and fruits? How do you think they were made?
These flowers and leaves are made from a plaster mixture called stucco. On the ceiling, the stucco is like a frame for the pictures.
That's right, and those pictures show the life of Jesus.
Hey, we hope you can keep our secrets that we just shared with you.
The organ and its history. Of the 5 organs in the cathedral, the one on the west gallery is the largest. It was built of wood in 1703, painted with marble patterns and lavishly gold-plated. It has about 4,121 pipes, the largest of which is an unbelievable 9.6 meters or 31.5 feet.
The organ is the king of all instruments because it can imitate all the others. This one is more than 300 years old and has often been remodeled and restored, most recently in 1988. Without music, the cathedral would be only a place of prayer where ceremonial services could not be celebrated.
Treasures, animals, amazing attractions. Here you'll find things that you've never seen before. Valuable and unique things from every continent. An Egyptian mummy, a woman with a beard, gemstones and scientific gadgets, rock crystal and a mountain goat's horn. Welcome to the Cabinet of Curiosities.
In the olden days, every prince that was worth his title had a cabinet of curiosities that displayed works of art, both wonders of nature and man-made ones. The Salzburg Prince Archbishop was no exception. The Salzburg Cabinet of Curiosities was founded about 450 years ago. This room and the cabinets, you see, date back that far too, and look the same as they did then. It's sad to say, but most of the contents of the cabinets were lost over the centuries. Later, similar objects were added again. Some pieces from the original collection include, for example, the rhinoceros's horn and the mountain goat's horn. Come on in, you'll be amazed.
What is that thing? Is it a candle?
No, no way.
Are you sure it's not a candle?
Maybe it's from a unicorn.
Unicorns don't really exist. They're just a fairy tale.
Yeah, and we're not too terribly clever, are we?
Now I know what it is. It's a tooth from an owl.
You're right, the whale, that clip of the coast of Greenland. People used to believe that a narwhal's tooth helped fight the plague and poison.
And we thought it was a candle.
Come on, let's move on.
See the drinking horns up there? Those and all the other things in this display case were carved from wild goat horn. This animal lived in Salzburg's mountains, and only the archbishop was allowed to hunt them. That's why wild goat horn was so valuable. The archbishop had all kinds of things carved from it. Containers, jugs, cups, and much, much more. Take a look at the salt container in the middle of the display case. It's so beautiful. The artist must have worked on that for at least a month.
Doof, doof, pss. Doof, doof, pss. Doof, doof, pss. Doof, doof, pss.
Chains so pretty, they make you look this way. But really they are meant to help you pray. To do it right, some time you'll need for every beautiful little bead. In your hand, held just right, Hail Mary, our Father, you'll recite. The name is what we want to find. I'll help you guess it if you don't mind. Mary's flower is part of the name. Her favorite's the rose, of which none are the same.
Doof, doof, tss. Doof, doof, tss.
Yeah, now we know what these necklaces are.
They are rosaries.
Little Nomki, the little monkey.
Doof, doof,
I, little Nomki, the little monkey, and belong to the archbishop. Playing tricks in his court, down the stairs and up.
Doof, doof, tss. Doof, doof, tss.
Dancing on the tables, anytime's okay. Ignoring the dog barking to scare me away. My jacket, a super tailor did so. My bell always rings wherever I go.
The Salzburg Cathedral Museum is home to some of the most precious objects collected by the cathedral over the centuries. The cathedral treasure. You can see paintings, artwork, and objects made of gold and precious jewels for use during Mass and in the church. The rooms you are in are part of the cathedral, and from the windows, there is a wonderful view of the city's squares.
That's a picture called The Temptation of Saint Anthony. Can you see the little boy peeing?
Where?
Bottom right.
You mean the one being held by his mum and peeing?
Yes.
Okay, can we move on now?
Wait! Look at the top right. A giant fish is gobbling up a whole ship and in the middle a city is burning.
And look, over there, near the tree trunk, that's a funny-looking musician.
You mean the one with the trumpets coming out of his backside?
Yes, but where's St. Anthony?
Down at the bottom. He's kneeling in his hut and trying to pray, but all around him, all hell has broken loose.
Who is that? What is he holding in his hand?
That's Rupert, the founder of Salzburg's church and a patron saint of the province.
You can always recognize him by the barrel of salt in his left hand. Underneath the altar in the cathedral, there is a trunk that holds the relics of St. Rupert.
What are relics?
Relics are the bones and clothes of a saint.
And the man on the right, is that Rupert too?
No, that can't be, because he's holding a church in his hand, not a barrel of salt.
Oh, I know who it is.
Who?
It must be Saint Virgil. He had the first Salzburg Cathedral built. That's why he's holding a model of a cathedral in his hand. Look at his shoes. They're decorated with flowers, and there's a gem in the middle of his glove. Wow, I'm sure only the Archbishop could afford that.
After Rupert died, Saint Virgil had Rupert's bones brought to Salzburg.
Hey, look! When you go into the next room, you can see the two of them again. From behind, you'll notice that both statues are hollow and carved from wood.
Servant, where is my masset?
I'll be right with you, my lord.
I always have to clean these gold-plated pitchers for water and wine and polish these coats of arms.
What's taking so long?
I'm coming. On every trip the Archbishop holds Mass, and I have to clean his Mass set. The pitchers, the chalice, the tray, the Mass bells, and the little oil pots. And worst of all is the wick trimmer. Every time I cut the candle's wick with it, it's black again. Yes, indeed, being a servant of Prince Archbishop Count from Colorado is really hard work. I'm coming, sir, I'm coming.
I've been standing on this golden sphere since 2007. Can you see me? There's a great view from here. To my right is St. Peter's Cemetery. To the left, the giant chessboard. Next to the cemetery is St. Peter's Abbey, with its restaurants, Peterskeller. The big fountain I can see from here is a horse pond from the year 1732, where the horses of cannons were washed. Horses were very valuable, and Neptune, the god of the seas, watched over them with his ocean steed. Even the Archbishop lives in this square, right here to the left of the horse pond in what used to be a home for cannons. Everything here belonged to them. And don't forget to enjoy the gorgeous view of the castle. The Archbishop could always retreat up there in times of danger.
Look at this carving. It's a Christmas scene. Can you hear that too? Somebody's talking. I think it might be the ox and the donkey.
Hey ox, what do you think of the Christ child being born in our stable?
Well, except for being out in the cold, it's really nice that Jesus is to be our saviour. My birth certainly wasn't as exciting.
Yes, but our parents were just as happy. Why don't you breathe on him a bit? He's probably cold.
Okay.
No, I didn't say cough. Come on, let me do it.
Anyway, his mother Mary and Joseph are keeping him warm. The two angels. What are they doing here with Christ?
Come on, you dumb ox. Get him warmed up. Hey, have you already noticed that beautiful star?
You mean that one, up on the roof?
Eeaw, eeaw.
And what is it made from?
It's made from linden wood.
Okay, but let's move on now.
Interview with the artist Günther Unterburger.
What are these crosses made of?
These crosses are made of concrete that a Salzburg company supplied for my use. A lot of things in and around Salzburg have been built with this. It's really quite an everyday material, but then again, it's not if you think about it. Concrete is made from cement, and cement was once a mountain that has been ground into a powder. And now it's being formed into new things.
Why did you make that, and how did you come up with the idea?
I live in Berlin, but in the winter of 2001, a company invited me to come and stay for 5 months in an art studio in Gattenau near Salzburg. It's very different from a big city, and you notice lots of things that seem unusual. Suddenly I noticed crucifixes showing Jesus on the cross just about everywhere, not only in churches, but just everywhere, while taking a walk, at road intersections, next to the street, or up in the mountains, and they were all different. It seemed to me that they have little to do with Jesus Christ per se, but have more to do with how the person making or ordering it sees him. My own picture of Jesus was a cross that would leave enough room for my own beliefs. One that asked questions rather than answering them. That was the trigger that got me started on making these crosses.
How did you make the molds?
I formed different types of Christ's figures from clay and then built a wall of wooden boards, and the shape was always the same, in the form of a cross around them. That was then filled with concrete. Once the concrete hardened, I could turn the whole thing over and remove the clay, which had remained soft. That's how this hollow form, or as a sculptor would say, the negative form, was made. That wouldn't have worked with a hard material, such as a carved piece of wood.
Why are there such hollow imprints?
These crosses are quite unique, in that the form is clearly that of a cross. But exactly where you would normally find the figure of Christ hanging on the cross, there's a hole. Not really a hole, though, an empty spot to be exact. Actually, the form of the figure as a hollow area, a negative. Maybe one of you has already tried this out. Your eyes can play tricks on you. The longer you look into the negative form, especially if the light is just right, you'll suddenly see it as a three-dimensional form, as if it were really there. Yes, and if you look closely a few times, you'll perhaps begin to wonder which one is the real Christ's figure. Since the crosses seem to have only hollow imprints, that really gets you thinking.
Why did you become an artist?
I wanted to work with both my hands and head, both think and create. And I wanted to work with topics that interested me intensely and not with what others wanted me to do.
How long have you been an artist and how old were you when you became one?
After graduating from secondary school, I studied wood sculpturing, or carving as it is often said. I was 20 years old. After that, I studied at an art academy in Munich. By the time I completed that, I was 30 years old. All in all, those are quite good prospects for becoming an artist. To be honest, and I think an artist always should be, being an artist is not simply getting a title that you can proudly carry around with you forever. To be and remain an artist, you always have to make a new effort. You have to question everything, yourself, your fellow humans, God, and the world. And you have to create works of art that in turn make others ask questions. Art should then trigger new questions. After all, the crosses managed to get you to ask a few questions, and so I'm a bit closer to my goal of being an artist. I have quite a few plans, and by the way, after all the work I put into becoming an artist, I nearly overlooked that I'm soon to be 50 years old.
How long did you work on the three crosses?
Actually, it was a total of 12 crosses, and I worked on them for 3 months. If you calculate that out, that comes to 1 week per cross. But you can't really say for sure, since one could take a bit longer than the other, while another one gets done a bit faster. Sometimes I even worked on three at the same time. Also, don't forget the time spent thinking before, during and after. And of course, you need to do lots of drawing and more drawing.
What is your most famous piece of artwork?
I think I have yet to make that.
This scene depicts the conversion of St. Hubert.
It was made in the year 1780 and carved in linden wood.
How many animals do you see?
I see 9 animals.
And which ones?
A dog, 2 lizards, a bird, a wild goat, an owl, a bear, a deer, and a squirrel.
Do you see the cross too?
It's on the deer's head. That deer looks interesting, don't you think?
Yes, the tear running down its face is enough by itself. Can you see it?
There could be a few reasons for that.
For example, because the deer is so happy that Hubert believes in God.
No one knows for sure. There are lots of stories, but probably only one is true.
Yeah, but which one?
What is that?
That is Christ in a coffin. This figure was made more than 200 years ago.
What is it made of?
It's made of wax.
What is he lying on?
He's lying on a wooden coffin table.
What's that supposed to be?
Jesus, after he died, can you see his injuries and the intestines that look like maggots?
Yuck! Why do they want that?
At that time, the people really wanted to see Christ's suffering and death.
I think we'd better move on.
Here we are again.
We'd like to show you the cross of Rupert.
The Cathedral Museum's most famous piece. The cross is almost 1,300 years old.
It's made of mountain maple wood. The cross was covered on the outside with gold-plated copper. Have a look at all the patterns and animals. It's decorated with glass medallions, although most of them have been lost over time. Can you count them?
The cross probably originated in England, but who knows how it got here? It was used during church services, perhaps even by St. Rupert or even St. Virgil, who had the first cathedral built. No one really knows for sure.
This is a so-called host dove. It's made of gold-plated copper and enamel and is decorated with colorful glass and turquoise stones. The wing feathers made of enamel look as if they were painted. The rest of the feathers are engraved. The eyes are made of blue glass stones, making it look very lifelike. In the past, the host was stored in this dove, which has a lid on its back.
Why a dove?
Well, the dove is a symbol for the Holy Ghost. That's why it goes well with the church.
Did you see that there's a pear on the chalice?
No, where's the pear?
Right there between the pearls and the gemstones. There are lots of fruit hidden there, and the enamel medallion shows scenes from the lives of Jesus and Mary.
Wow, those are really beautifully made. What was the chalice used for?
It was used during Mass.
And this beautiful chalice was made for Archbishop Gandolf Graf Kuhnburg.
Hey, are these gemstones real?
Of course. There are a total of 1,792 diamonds, 24 emeralds, 405 rubies, 16 sapphires, 1 hyacinth, 8 amethysts, 1 aquamarine, 2 garnets, and 9 chrysolites. The goldsmith, Ferdinand Sigmund Amend, made this monstrance in 1697 for Archbishop Ernest von Thun.
He even used valuable gems from his predecessor.
Wow! It really, really glitters!
These rubies must be priceless.
What's a monstrance used for?
The host is displayed in it for worship.
Look, this monstrance even has a motion sensor alarm.
Let's go look at the next display.
Hello, I'd like to introduce you to two important people, the artist and the architect of the cathedral. Who do you think the artist was? Right, you can see him in the picture on the left with his paintbrush and paint. His name is Arisanio Mascagni. Arisanio's main piece was the resurrecting of Christ. You can see it in the cathedral's high altar. He also did many of the cathedral ceiling paintings. I'll also tell you a bit about the architect Santino Saleri. He is wearing a lot of chains across his chest. That's a Spanish tradition. He's the one who thought up how the cathedral should look, made the plans, and supervised the construction. Do you know what the object is on the far right-hand side of the picture? Yes, it is a compass. He needed it to draw the plan for the cathedral. To help you picture the true size of Salzburg Cathedral better, we've made a wooden model of it. But you are the builder and have to put it together. In 1614, Archbishop Marcus Siticus laid the cornerstone for today's cathedral. Santino Saleri was the architect. Archbishop Peres Lodron consecrated it 14 years later. The dome is the highest point of the whole cathedral, but it collapsed once. That was in 1944, during the Second World War, when it was destroyed by a bomb.
it was rebuilt later.
So give it a try. Put the cathedral model together.
Hello, my name is Prince Archbishop Graf Goidelberg Thorn, and I commissioned the building of the Long Gallery. I brought the idea from Italy to have pictures on one side and windows on the other in order to light the room properly. I wanted to have the gallery building right in front of St. Peter's Abbey, but the abbot didn't like that idea.
Argued about it at St. Peter's Abbey. We worried that the people in Salzburg Court would be looking in our windows. Then I suggested that we combine the project with the construction of a new wing for the monastery. We agreed that the construction material would be paid for by the Prince Archbishop and we would cover the construction costs.
So now the monastery and I are co-owners of the building. The basement and the gallery belong to me, and the rest of the building belongs to the Abbey of St. Peter.
70 pictures used to be on display here, but now there are only 17. Go and have a look at them. Have fun!
See that tall tower in the picture? That is, or I guess I should say, was the Tower of Babel. It was so tall that you couldn't see the top. The people wanted to be closer to God, but God didn't like that and destroyed the tower. God also created a lot of different languages so people couldn't talk to each other so easily anymore.
The picture you see here, showing everyone leaving the tower behind, was painted by Johann Überländer in 1656. The top of the tower disappears into red glowing clouds with lightning bolts shooting out of them. Everyone is afraid of the thunder and holds on to each other like the children in the center. Some are holding tablets in their hands, which symbolize the various languages. You might have noticed already, but the people in the painting don't all look the same. To the very left, for example, you can see an Indian chief and his family.
Hey, look here. What is he doing with that eye?
Tobias, the one in the red coat, he's healing his blind father.
Is he an eye doctor?
No, he's just his son and is healing him with bile.
Really? Where did he get the bile from?
At the bottom of the picture to the right, you can see a fish sliced open.
Yuck! That's supposed to be a fish? It looks more like a monster. Where did he find that?
He caught it earlier and cut out the bile because he knew it would have special properties.
And how did he know that?
The angel Raphael was with him and whispered it into his ear.
Tobias healed his father by spreading the bile onto the sick eye.
Pooey, that must stink something terrible.
Yes, but sometimes small things work big miracles.
Is that the story from a Walt Disney fairy tale?
Of course not. Don't be silly. It's from the book of Tobias in the Old Testament.
St. Peter's Abbey is a Benedictine monastery. It was founded over 1,300 years ago by Bishop Rupert. Up until the year 987, the abbot of the monastery was also the bishop of Salzburg. A very old and beautiful cemetery is part of the monastery, and Mozart's sister is buried there.
St. Peter's Abbey had a well-known scriptorium or writing room. St. Peter's Abbey is a Benedictine monastery.
Later, you'll see beautiful things from the treasury at St. Peter's Abbey. You'll also discover that the Abbey and music had a special bond, and you can follow that bond's history over time. Come and have a look around.
Look at that. What is it?
A hat, maybe.
No, it's a mitre. That's the hat worn by abbots and bishops.
Wow, it looks like a crown. Who did this beautiful mitre belong to?
It belonged to Abbot Rupert Keutel, who bought it in 1480.
So many jewels. How many gemstones are there?
There are 354 jewels and 251 enamel pearls.
Can you guess how old they are?
I'd think about 500 years old. They are so beautiful and colorful. Which one do you like best?
The big blue one on the right side.
Where do you think they were worn?
At special church celebrations and ceremonies.
Hi, Nicholas.
Hi, Kitty.
Do you know what that is?
That's the Limoges Pastorale.
And what's that?
That's the staff that abbots and bishops carry. And Limoges is a city in France.
Why was the staff named after a city?
Because in the Middle Ages the city was known for its enamel art. This method was used to decorate the staff. Just look at those colors. They are really special.
What is this abbot staff made of?
It was made using an 8-sided piece of wooden stick with a top made of gilded copper circling in twice, like a shepherd's staff.
About how old is it?
It's almost 700 years old.
Hey, do you see that animal in the center of the spiral? It's a mythical creature.
Hi there. Have a look at the window. From here, you have the best view of the cathedral's facade. That's the Church of the Salzburg Archbishops.
Looking at it from the front, you can see the cathedral's giant dome, two towers and its facade. Most of the main wall is made of the marble from the nearby Untersberg Mountain.
Then, starting at the bottom of the cathedral, you will see four statues of saints set on pedestals. Saint Rupert, the first bishop in Salzburg, St. Peter with golden keys, St. Paul with a sword, and St. Virgil, who had the first cathedral built.
Over them, you can see beautiful garlands of flowers and fruits, as well as ibexes and lions. You can also see the authors of the four Gospels, Luke with a bull, Matthew with an angel, Mark with a lion, and John with an eagle.
Right about in the middle of the facade are two angels holding a golden crown, and the clocks on the towers have Roman numerals. And on the clocks are also the heads of four angels who are blowing the wind from all directions.
Right in the middle, on top of the gable, is a figure of Jesus holding the globe with his left hand and giving blessings with the right. This statue is known as the Salvator Mundi, the Savior of the world. A bit below that statue, to the left and right, you'll see Moses with the Ten Commandments and Elias, a prophet from the Old Testament.
And since two prince archbishops were involved in building the cathedral, you'll also find both their coats of arms if you look right below the figure of Jesus. The one with the ibex belongs to Marcus Sitticus von Hohenems, and the one with the lion to Paris Laudron.
After you finish your walk through the Dome Quartier, go behind the statue of Mary. Stand under the first arch in the Domplatz Square, look towards the cathedral and watch Mary's head as you move closer. It will look as if the two angels on the cathedral's facade are putting a crown on her.
Greetings to God. I am the abbot of St. Peter's Monastery, and I am from Salzburg. Before I became a monk, my name was Cajetan Rupert Hagenau. As a monk, I am known as Dominicus. I love art and music. In my monastery, we even have musical entertainment with our meals at lunch. I want my monks to have good music to enjoy as they eat. And for them, singing is also important, so we have our own choir. One of my friends is Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, who will later become world famous. My two musician friends, Mozart and Haydn, wrote two beautiful church compositions that were even named after me.
Hi there! I'm Wolfie Mozart. After all, I'm the city of Salzburg's most famous musician and composer. One of my friends is Dominicus. When he became a priest, I composed a mass for him. At the time, I was only 13 years old. Later on, when I was older, I came back here for a visit with my wife Constance. We performed a new mass, which Constance sung so beautifully. And once a year, this mass is performed during the Salzburg Music Festival in St. Peter's Church.
My name is Johann Michael Haydn. I was born in the province of Lower Austria. My big brother is the world-famous musician Joseph Haydn. I came to Salzburg when the Prince Archbishop gave me a job as court musician. I have some friends in the Abbey of St. Peter. I often play the organ or music at their services and have even composed for them. I've given a lot of my music to St. Peter's Abbey, and they're really nice to my wife and me, and we even rent a nearby house that belongs to them. When Dominicus Hagenauer became the abbot, I wrote the mass for him called Missa Sancti Dominici, or the Saint Dominic Mass.
A lovely melody draws two boys into a remote room. They look around and see a strange instrument with a ghost playing it. In a friendly voice, the ghost begins speaking.
Hi there. Don't be afraid. I'm Joshua Prock, the man who built this instrument, called a clavier organ. Would you like to travel back with me in time to the 16th century and follow the historic trail left by the clavier organ?
At first they hesitate and move very slowly,
but then they overcome their fear and they follow the ghost.
Originally, I built the clavi organ over 400 years ago for the Archduke Ferdinand II of Tyrol. Then Prince Archbishop Wolf Dietrich von Reitenau bought it and had it brought to his residence in Salzburg.
One of the two boys asks,
"What's so special about this instrument?"
The ghost answers,
"This instrument is really quite amazing. It's three instruments in one, namely a spinet, a regan, and an organ. You can play each instrument separately or all at the same time."
A regal?
What's that?
Well, back then, it was an instrument similar to an organ. Listen to how it sounds. I hope you enjoyed time traveling with me. But sorry, now I've got to go.
With those words, the ghost vanished.
Olaf the Mariner is going to work to find jewels in the mines. The rock begins yelling as he hacks at it with his pick.
Ouch! Hey, do you know who I am?
Yeah, you look like a pretty rock to me.
Well, I'm not your everyday rock. I'm a Pericline. Have you ever heard of me?
No, maybe you can tell me about yourself.
I'd love to. A Pericline is usually milky white, but I'm dark green because I am completely covered with fine crystals called chlorite. Did you know that the name comes from the Greek word chloris, which means green?
No, I had no idea. Do you mind if I bring you to the mineral collection at the Abbey of St. Peter? They have 25,000 other minerals there.
Yes, of course. I'd love to see my other rock friends.
If you're interested in seeing more of these fascinating minerals, come see the mineral collection at the nearby Abbey of St. Peter's. They'll be glad to help you at the museum ticket booth.
Look at that, what is it?
That's the St. Peter's Monastery about 140 years ago.
Wow, I can't believe that it looks so different nowadays. What's that thing in the garden that looks like two huts connected together?
That's a bowling alley.
That's not possible. Monks just pray all day, don't they? What do they need a bowling alley for?
They didn't only pray all day. No, they like to bowl during Lent.
And what happened to the roofs? Did a giant fall on them?
No, silly. Roofs used to look totally different. They had multi-pitched butterfly roofs so that if there was a fire, you could run back and forth up there trying to put it out. The trouble with this kind of roof was that when it rained, water collected there or filled up with snow in the winter and had to be cleared. That was a lot of work.
Is that a small stream on the edge of the garden?
Yes, you have good eyes. That's the so-called Alm Canal channel that has been there for over 800 years. Monks used to wash their clothes there and even drink the water since it was so clean. Did you know that a monk once fell in and drowned?
No, that's terrible.
Next to it, you can see a model of the entire Domquartier where you've been walking about today. You can find your orientation here and look at all the places you've already been.
Boo-hoo! I'm the ghost of Prince Archbishop Wolf Dietrich. I had the room you're now standing in built when I had the residence renovated. You could even still use the old iron stove you see here to heat the place. The oldest stove, however, is in the state rooms. Pictures of the emperors and kings of the Habsburg family are hanging on the walls. I'd much rather see a picture of myself hanging here, since I used to be the head of this household. If you'd like to know what I look like, you can find me in the next room in a picture showing two men. I'm the one holding the coat of arms with a ball in it. Although I was a priest, I had 15 children with my wife Salome Alt. If we'd had these red benches at the time, I think my children would have loved to hide in them. Actually, these benches were built as shelves for the servants' shoes. By the way, you're not allowed to sit on them, even if you're probably a little bit tired. I'm going to float back into my stove. At least it's warm there. Boo-hoo! I'm the ghost of Wolf Dietrich, and this is my place.
Conversation between Wolf Dietrich and Marcus Sitticus. Oh no, it's Wolf Dietrich and Marcus Sitticus, and they're fighting again. Shh, so we can hear what they're fighting about.
See this beautiful hallway that I had built? You never would have done such a cool job, Marcus.
It's not that great, Wolf Dietrich. A woodworm wouldn't even be interested in these dark ceilings. Four marble portals and the marble floors are a bit much, don't you think? But I do like the chandeliers.
You're just jealous because I had the idea of this connection to the Franciscan church. And in 1608, such ornate wood ceilings were really in.
Jealous of you? No way. Oh, you're just so in love with yourself. I'd never be like that. Everyone can see your coat of arms with the ball as soon as they go out.
Oh, be quiet, Marcus. You don't need to talk. You also immortalized yourself with your ibex coat of arms right here.
My goodness, your problems aren't even worth fighting about.
Hi, Kiona. Hi, Nicholas.
Hi, Nanette.
Did you know that the Franciscan Church served as the Bishop's Church after the cathedral fire in 1598?
Really? It's true. Look here. You can look right into the church through this glass door.
Then tell me how many pillars you see.
I think there are three.
Wrong.
There are five. The church has a really special vaulted ceiling with a star pattern.
I've never seen one like it before.
Me neither.
Look here. Up front in the pulpit, Prince Archbishop Wolf Dietrich himself used to preach.
Wow! Up front almost looks like someone built a house into the church.
Yeah, behind it, Prince Archbishop Wolf Dietrich had a little prayer parlor built so he and his family could watch the church service.
Cool!
You've really seen, heard, and experienced a lot. I bet your feet are hurting, aren't they? But before you leave the residence,
You can try to make up a goodbye song on these stairs. Each little golden pillar plays a different note. Give it a try and we'll see you later.
Now, your visit to the Prince Archbishops of Salzburg and the Abbots of St. Peter's Abbey has come to an end. You've seen, experienced and heard a lot. Hopefully you enjoyed it here in the Dome Quartier, and we can't wait to have you come back again sometime in the future. See you around!